All right, everyone. Now for a bit of a scary story. Remember measles? Well, they're back. And this year, across the country, more and more people are coming down with the disease. The problem is especially bad in some communities in the Pacific Northwest, where vaccination rates are far lower than the national average. Last month in Washington state, Governor Jay Inslee declared a state of emergency over an ongoing measles outbreak.
This outbreak happened at the end of last year, early this year, in a county which is considered a bedroom community of Portland, in Clark County, Washington state.
That's Lena Sun. She's a health reporter at the Washington Post who covers infectious diseases.
Measles is one of the most contagious diseases on earth. And whenever there is one case of measles, state health department folks immediately try to track it down and see who might have been exposed and put out notices.
Public health officials are concerned about the spread of the disease here in the United States. In 2018, we saw the second highest number of reported cases of measles since the year 2000.
So right now, it's already spread to neighboring Oregon. Oregon has four cases. Right now, it's mostly in Clark County, Washington, but they are really worried that it's whenever there's more new cases, that means this thing is not under control.
And even the World Health Organization is pinning some of the blame on anti-vaccine movements.
The anti-vax movement has always been percolating along, but in recent years, it's become more well-organized, and they have also done a great job in messaging on social media. They dominate social media.
Lachlan Marquet is a reporter at The Daily Beast, and he took a look at exactly how the decades-old anti-vax movement has been gaining more traction online.
We looked at the prevalence in Facebook advertising, because this is obviously the largest social media platform in the world. These advertisers are potentially reaching a number of the 2.5 billion or so people that use this platform. And Facebook also allows for very specific micro-targeting. So they can target people based on age or gender or location. So Facebook, unfortunately, makes relatively scant information about that targeting available. But what we were able to find, and we examined advertisements from seven different anti-vaccine pages, just short of 150 ads in total, is they were really targeting women above the age of 25, which I interpreted as an effort to target women with children, most likely to have children of an age where they might be vaccinated. And they were also targeting people in particular in states in the Pacific Northwest, where this measles outbreak has hit particularly hard.
Who do you think is behind these ads?
Well, the pages we looked at sort of run the gamut. So some of them are very what appear to be low budget pages, and it doesn't take a very large budget to reach a significant number of people on Facebook. But there are also larger ones and much more financially endowed ones, in particular a group run by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is a very outspoken sort of anti-vaccine celebrity.
And we actually did have a chance to speak to Mr. Kennedy a couple of months ago.
I have 10 brothers and sisters. I never knew a kid who had a food allergy, who had a peanut allergy. But you can't find a classroom today in America where kids don't have peanut allergies. Those are coming from the vaccines.
Yeah, and, you know, I gather it's part of a larger environmental concern over environmental issues, et cetera, so that there is some overlap between these sorts of conspiracy theories and more mainstream political activism. And it's not the only case of that type of overlap. There are other conspiracy theories that, I mean, certainly the birther conspiracy theory was shared by people now running our federal government at the highest levels. So it's not unique to this conspiracy theory, but, it does show that even the smartest and savviest and most powerful among us do harbor some of these very anti-scientific and sometimes very dangerous views.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what else could be happening in that region, because there's one thing to target advertising to a specific group of people. But can we really say that these ads have any direct impact or proven impact on behavior?
Well, there's a bit of a chicken and the egg scenario here, because in the states where this measles outbreak is a serious problem, you are seeing much more heated public and legislative debates over mandatory vaccinations and things along those lines. So in a sense, you would expect people who are interested in this issue to be particularly active in those states because that's where it's being discussed. That's where potential new laws might be passed. So it may not be that these ads are causing the measles outbreaks there, but I think there is a heightened concern that it will exacerbate them by preventing the sorts of public health measures that need to be taken to prevent its spread from actually taking place.
Has Facebook responded to this?
They have, and actually very shortly after we published a story last week, Congressman Adam Schiff of California sent a letter to the CEOs of Facebook and Google and essentially asked what they were doing to try to combat this problem. And Facebook, for their part, said that they are considering steps. I don't think they said they were taking any concrete steps yet, but they're looking into how to, for instance, demote scientifically unsound pages and articles, et cetera, in their search results.
If we think about how these companies, they're already trying to deal with the quote unquote fake news, right, and the Russian interference in our election. Can't those same tools be used for something like this, which is really, as you said, scientific disinformation?
Yes. The problem with both Facebook and YouTube, in fairness to the companies, is the sheer volume of information that they're having to deal with. You can't have a staff of people really effectively weeding through this, so you need to figure it out in an algorithmic way or you know, have some sort of filter that can weed out that sort of disinformation. And that's technologically a difficult thing to do. What these companies' critics will say is, you know, if they feel that it's technologically infeasible to prevent this sort of disinformation from occurring and from popping up on their platform, they need to consider scaling back that platform in a large way. Of course, Facebook and Google are both very, global publicly traded companies, and doing a number on their advertising revenue probably isn't really an option when it comes to answering to their shareholders. And I think that's where the tension here really arises.
Lachlan Marquet is a reporter for The Daily Beast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime.
The Takeaway reached out to Facebook for comment on this story, but we have not heard back yet.